I would never claim to be a pagan, neither would you, but to be honest with you, we all kind of act like one. Let's get into it. Trigger warning, this is Caffeinated Christianity. So we had a couple of tornado warnings this past Thursday, so that would have been a week from the day of this recording, and needless to say, well, to make a long story short, I spent 45 minutes in the basement of the cafeteria here at Presbyterian College, and I gotta be honest with you, it was honestly pretty gross. I mean, if something had really gone down, and I would have been forced to stay down there for a while, I think the tornado would have been safer. There were a lot of things down there that I would not expect or would hope wouldn't be in the basement of a cafeteria where they serve food directly upstairs. But, I mean, beggars really can't be choosers, I guess. I just really want to ask the question of what was actually safer. I really would like to ask that question, but I doubt I'll get a serious answer. Welcome to the next episode of Caffeinated Christianity. My name is Cooper Short. Here at Caffeinated Christianity, the coffee is black and the opinions are unqualified. We are a blog and a podcast and a creative content website dedicated to practical Christianity from an evangelical worldview. And today we are going to begin the first of 10 commandments. Last week we talked about, or I guess last episode, we had kind of an intro to what the 10 commandments really were. And so today we're going to actually start our journey through God's 10 commandments that he gave to the Israelites in Exodus chapter 21st, our verse of the episode, Joshua 24, 14 through 15. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, to just go ahead and jump into this really quickly, some Jewish scholars actually, or I guess really I should say biblical scholars, actually think that the first commandment starts with verse 2 in Exodus chapter 20, which says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of slavery. Now, God repeatedly does this, especially in Old Testament literature, where he is reminding them of the Exodus, which is effectively a story of salvation. He is reminding them of, like, by the way, I am the one who saved you, because he is the God who saves. But the key commandment that we're talking about today, which most people tend to agree is the first commandment of God's 10 commandments, is you shall have no other gods before me. Now, what does this really mean? Because a lot of us have kind of this mindset of where we're thinking, I don't have any gods before God. That would be ridiculous. But what he's actually talking about, because the G is lowercase in the English, meaning that it's talking about idols, which really means no idolatry. Now, what is idolatry? That is the million-dollar question. If I had the answer, hopefully I would be able to make $1 million and pay off some of this college debt or college loan debt. Hello. Idolatry. We are not prone in the West to commit a lot of these open acts of what we consider to be pagan idolatry. I'm talking like little wooden or golden figurines sitting in your house. That's not our natural Western tendency, especially in the United States. We don't tend to do that. But think about the things that we do idolize. Think about the people we idolize. Think about the fact that politics is probably one of the most emotion-laden words in the modern American discourse. We do 100% worship idols. They just may not be little totem poles or statues in your house. Let me give you a little bit of statistics to, well, just let them speak for themselves. This is according to Nielsen, which I got to be honest with you, I don't know what Nielsen is. I just know they're a website and they do a lot of research. Roughly 120.6 million households in the United States have a television. According to Nielsen in 2018, users of Netflix spent over 52 billion minutes streaming The Office TV show. 120.6 million households. I don't know how many households are in the United States, but there's roughly 330, 350 million people. So you're basically averaging about 3 Americans per household, which seems fairly reasonable. So virtually every American household has a television. I know mine does. We have several. 52 billion minutes spent streaming The Office. That's unbelievable. I mean, the show is funny, but come on, guys. And that's just one TV show. And the article that I used for this didn't cite what was the most streamed television show, but they claimed that The Office was not even number one. It just happened to be the most relevant for their article. The vast majority of people in advanced economies, which we're talking about Western Europe, Russia, China, countries that are economically advanced, which is why they're called advanced economies, most places have well over 70% use of, let me actually rephrase that, well over 70% of most advanced economies use a smartphone. That is according to Pew Research, and that was done in 2019. I know I personally have an iPhone. I'm a big user of the Apple ecosystem, as you can clearly see here with all of these Apple products. And that is in no way Apple endorsing this podcast, even though that would be awesome if they did, Loki. Get this number right here. This hits close to home because I played college football for 3 seasons. Roughly 37 million people attended an FBS Division I college football game in the year 2018. Now, when we talk about FBS Division I, we're talking about all the big boys. Alabama, Clemson, South Carolina, Florida, Oregon, go Ducks, Syracuse, and the like. Power 5 football, well, and non-Power 5. Roughly 37 million people bought a ticket and attended a game in 2018. And I can assure you that probably just went up in the year 2019. But get this. This is where we need to compare whether or not we're actually idolizing things as Christians in the United States or people who claim to be Christians in the United States. Only 58% of evangelical Protestants even attend a church service once a week. So not even, well, actually, let me just keep going through my numbers here. The other subsets of Christianity are actually lower. So only 25% of the overall identified Christian population actually claims to be an evangelical Protestant. And then on top of that, only 58% of that 25% attend a church service more than once a week. Now, don't get me wrong and do not misconstrue. Going to church doesn't make you a believer. But let's go back through these numbers quickly. 120.6 million households have a television. We spent 52 billion minutes watching one television show that's largely irreverent, to be completely honest with you. And over 70% of the modern advanced economic world has a smartphone. And roughly 37 million people attended an FBS Division I college football game in 2018. But only about a little over half of a quarter of Christians in the United States actually attend a church service more than once a week. And the other subsets of Christianity, your mainliners, things like that, Catholics, their numbers are actually even lower than the 58%. Think about your living room setup. Think about how it's designed to face your television. Think about your schedule. Your schedule is designed to accommodate what you want to do. We have this aversion to the word idolatry, especially in the West, because we just assume that you mean little tiny figurines that I put on my mantle, and that's not at all what that means. God says, "You shall have no other gods before me," and the fact of the matter is, we have tons of gods before him. Think about the number one God in our lives, us. Think about the number one reason why we don't take our faith seriously, why we don't take other people seriously. Quote, "I don't have time," end quote. That's probably the sentence I use the most during my weekly activities. Let me walk you through a few verses here that actually talk about idolatry, and you can see what God's really getting at here. Jonah 2:8, "Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love." Psalm 135, 15 through 18. "The idols of the nations are silver and gold, the work of human hands. They have mouths but do not speak. They have eyes but do not see. They have ears but do not hear, nor is there any breath in their mouths. Those who make them become like them, so do all who trust in them." He's basically saying there that when you worship idols, you become like idols, useless. Ephesians 5:5, "For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God." So we have this aversion, especially in Western, modern, Protestant, evangelical Christianity, that there's no way I'm an idolater. I don't idolize anything. God is the number one thing in my life, unless, of course, my TV show is on or unless, of course, my football team is doing either well or poorly, or unless, of course, the candidate that I wanted in office does or does not get voted in. You see, it's very convenient for us to say we're not pagans, yet we continuously act like them. Commandment number one, you shall have no other gods before me. And this will actually play a bigger role, even in light of the other commandments. Idolatry is a major problem because we're telling God he's not important enough for us to give him our time and our effort and our abilities and just our attention. And he's the creator, the sovereign God of the universe who saved a lot of us from our sins. The least we can do is worship him as much as possible. My Jesus moment of the week was, so I actually went out of my way to post what I felt was probably a controversial blog on the nature of politics in light of Christianity. The gist of the article was that it's very unbecoming of Christians and the church in general to basically use politics as a club to beat people with and to say that the Bible supports this or the Bible supports that. There are a few things the Bible does support. Abortion is murder. Hate to break it to you. But generally speaking, we can't just use God's word and Jesus in general as a club to fulfill our political desires. And I really feel that there's a lot of idolatry, here we go, of politics in the church. And so I wrote a blog about how that's problematic, in that when you start to put things in front of God, namely politics in front of God, not only do we damage our witness as a church, but most importantly, we really sacrifice the integrity of the gospel. And so it's just not good. But I posted that and I actually got some good feedback. I was able to have some pretty solid conversations. And that's not saying the blog was very good. It's just saying that it was something that I felt passionate about. I was actually afraid to share, but it actually ended up working out. So that was pretty solid. Your CHH song of the episode is the song Voss by No Big Deal. That's V-O-S-S. It is on his Lowercase Tape mixtape. It is a Flames song, which means it's very good, and I'm a huge fan. I really like the lyrics. I'm a huge No Big Deal fan. If you've been listening to this podcast at all, you know that. That song is Voss by No Big Deal. So with that, I'll say thanks for tuning in. Of course, I'll be more than happy to reimburse you for the brain cells. Just hit me up on Venmo. I don't do Cash App. I don't trust that. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at CafChrist. That's CaffChrist.com. It's pretty simple. Know Christ, reflect Christ, John 1:5, hate sin, love sinners, and remember that the battle, it's already won, dog. 50. Audi. 50.